This is the Employment Law Show.
Good evening and welcome back. 6:32 Wednesday, hump day, midweek of the show. Employment Law Show is back with you for the next half hour, give or take. And John Scholes here, Leora Sanfiru, always in the driver's seat. And reaching out is simple. The phone call is coming through. So the main topic for tonight will be, hey, Leora, can my employer legally do what it's doing? We'll machete our way through some of those. Lots more to go here. Your phone calls as well. And always to reach out to Leora, simple, 1-855-821-5900. Help at employmentlawyer.ca. And the website we always direct you to even before that. It's free for you to use. You can learn so much even before a phone call or anything else and have access to what we call the severance calculator. Does what it's told. And that is pocketemploymentlawyer.ca. That's all coming up. Case of the day, pal. What do you got on the on deck tonight?
A lot of stuff, actually. You know, for me, Wednesday tends to be a very busy day because not only, of course, am I here on air, not only am I actually doing my job, I also, in addition to that, host a live stream every Wednesday afternoon, 1 o'clock. You can come join me and ask questions live on YouTube, Facebook, Indeed, etc. So, you know, I get asked a lot of questions, I answer a lot of them, and I want to continue doing that over the next 30 minutes to make sure that you have answers to the workplace issues that are bothering you, the workplace issues that you're dealing with. No need to deal with them on your own. I got your back. We can help. We can make sure that you know what the law does, what the law says, how to respond to your boss, how to deal with your loss of a job, your temporary layoff, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is the time that you can get those answers, not to go on Google and try to figure out things on your own and then get the wrong information, which invariably happens. We'll give you the right information, clear, concise, and you'll walk away with that knowledge. So by all means, call us right now, or just as good, maybe even better in some situations, reach me in the office anytime. We'll give you that contact information throughout the show. But case of the day, of course, which comes from someone I spoke with on my live stream earlier today. So this gentleman had been off on a disability leave for a couple of months and was happy to come back to work. And he got a note from his doctor saying he can come back to work with some fairly minor accommodation. He did a bit of modified duties, nothing too bad, then only for a limited period of time. Well, company says, well, give us just a little bit of time. We're going to try to figure out what we could do to accommodate you. Okay, yeah, no problem. Well, fast forward a few days later, he gets by email, a letter of termination, and get this, alleging all these performance issues, which, by the way, no one has ever spoken to him about before. No one's ever raised that with him before. But all of a sudden, he's so bad, such a terrible employee, that the company's going to let him go for cause. Well, of course, he reached out to me. We had an exchange today. This is complete and utter nonsense. Anyone here with, you know, eyes and some common sense can see what's happened here. Company didn't want to accommodate him. Company didn't want to bring him back to work. And they also didn't want to pay him severance. So they came up with some excuse, some reason to try to let him go and not have to pay him anything. Well, we're smarter than that. The law is smarter than that. And they're not going to get away with it. An employer cannot let you go because you were sick, because you had to miss work. And of course, because you need accommodation. That's a human rights violation. They can never do that. They have to accommodate, even if it's difficult. And by the way, John, this was not a difficult accommodation here. And of course, beyond that, to try to let someone go for cause in a situation where he did nothing wrong, ridiculous. Remember, you can only be let go for cause if you're guilty of the worst offense. You did something very, very bad, something that's deserving of the worst penalty that an employer can give you. That's rare, almost never happens. So, bottom line is, human rights violation. Yes, he's owed severance. For him, I assessed him as being owed probably close to a year's pay. He'd been there for about 10 years. So, that's what's going to happen here. But reminders there, of course, accommodation. Get that doctor's note. If your employer does anything other than accommodate you, you call me. You call me right away.
How high is the threshold for accommodation from the employer's standpoint?
So employers often say, well, you know, this is going to cause us some problems and maybe it's going to cost some money. We just don't want to do it. We don't have to do it. That's your problem, employee. Well, guess what? It's not, because the law makes it the employer's problem. An employer has to provide that accommodation. even if it's difficult, even if it's costly. Now, there is a point beyond which the company does not have to go to accommodate. We call that the point of undue hardship. That means that if it's so difficult, it's just so unreasonably hard, yeah, you don't have to go that far. But that is a high standard. The fact that it's difficult is not enough. So employers have to keep that in mind. You have to accommodate if it's at all possible. If it's extreme what you've been asked to do and you can't, fine, okay. But you have to try, you have to look hard, and you have to endure some discomfort. And if you don't, that's going to be, again, a human rights violation.
We'll take our one and only break for the rest of the night right here. So it'll give you some time to grab a phone and get on it. Wednesday night edition, Employment Law Show continues. This is 640 Toronto.
Welcome back to the Employment Law Show.
Can my employer legally do what it's doing? Because some of these may be shocking. Maybe they can, maybe they can't. We'll drill down a bit on these. First one, Lior, is a great one. Can my employer make my shifts longer or have me start earlier? They basically want to change the agreement as far as that's concerned, yeah?
Yeah, and you know, if you ask employers, they're going to say, of course we can do that. We're the employers. Right. Well, not so fast. Employers have a bit of discretion. They have a bit of power, if you will, to make some changes to your shift, you know, to make it longer, shorter, etc. But that is fairly minimal. They cannot make significant changes. So I'll give you an example. Can your employer have you start at 8:30 instead of 9? Yeah, they could probably get away with that. Can they make you start at 8:30 instead of noon? No, now they cannot. That's too much. That's a constructive dismissal. Now, take a step back here. When I say your employer can't do that, that doesn't mean that there's a way to physically restrain them, to physically stop them from doing that. You know, the employment law police doesn't come and arrest the employer that does that. What it means, if your employer makes one of those changes that they're not allowed to make, is that you, the employee, have the option to consider that a constructive dismissal. So employer, by changing my shift in a significant way, my hours of work, etc., that is a big deal. I'm considering that a constructive dismissal. I'm leaving, not coming back. Now you have to pay me my severance. Now, if your employer, if it's a one-off thing, so on the one day they did that, you know, we had a big issue today, a bunch of people were sick, so we need you to come in early, that is okay. But if it becomes a regular thing all of a sudden, now they've changed it or they're trying to change it permanently, you have that option to say constructive dismissal. And that's true with respect to hours. That's true with respect to shift length, compensation, if you've been demoted, any significant change in the terms of employment. But the last comment I'll make here, and this is probably the most important comment, is if you think you're being constructively dismissed or in that situation, do not quit until you speak to me. Okay, so we don't want to put the cart before the horse. Speak to me. If everything's okay, we'll get you out of there, get your compensation, but speak to me first.
Again, 416-870-6400. Got time to call us here live. Lior, can my employer make me sign a PIP, a performance improvement plan?
So here's the thing, and I get probably once, twice a week this question. My employers give me this performance improvement plan. They say I have to sign this. What happens if I don't? I don't want to sign it. Now, take a look at that performance improvement plan. In the majority of cases, the only thing that the signature is for is to confirm that you've received it, that you physically got it, that you're aware of it, not that you agree with it, not that everything is correct. So usually you would say by signing here, you acknowledge you've received a copy of this. That's absolutely fine to sign. Now, on the other hand, if it says by signing this, you agree that everything here is correct, and you actually don't agree with it, then no, you can't sign it. I'll tell you what to do instead in a second. So you have to really see and understand what the signature is representing. In the majority of cases, it's absolutely fine. You can sign it. It just confirms that you've received it, no issue. Now, in a situation where you're put on a performance improvement plan and you don't agree with it, you don't think it's accurate, you think there's information there that's incorrect, incomplete, well, you need to say so in writing. And you can write to your employer, say, yes, I did receive the performance improvement plan. I did read it, but here's why I don't agree with it. Or here's what it's not saying, what's not complete about it. Put that in writing. Be polite, be professional, but you have to respond to it. If you don't respond to it, if you just look the other way and continue working as if nothing has happened, that's the same as agreeing to it. Yeah. So yes, it's okay in most cases to sign it back, but you need to tell them why you don't agree with it, why you don't agree with it. And by doing that, you're preserving your rights and potentially preserving your job.
Working through a list of things that you may or may not know are legal, maybe possibly not legal here on the show tonight when it comes to your job and employment laws. My employer says it's struggling financially, Lior. We're not cutting it. Can it decide to cut my pay because of it?
Very good question. And certainly we saw that a lot during the pandemic. We're actually even seeing it now. A lot of companies are struggling. And, you know, if a company is legitimately struggling, can they cut your pay? The answer here is very straightforward. And no, they cannot. Even if they're doing it in good faith, even if they're financially legitimately struggling, there is no automatic legal right to reduce someone's pay. Certainly, I mean, if they reduce it by a marginal amount, by this tiny amount, not really correct, but they could probably get away with it. But an employer cannot make significant changes to terms of employment. That certainly includes compensation, even if there's a good business reason. So no, an employer doesn't get a buy, doesn't get an exception just because they're struggling financially. So if your pay is being affected significantly, that may absolutely be a constructive dismissal. It's not legal. You have rights. And oftentimes, if you just want your employer to back off, if they hear from me, they will back off. So those are the rights. So no, that doesn't, you know, you may hear a recession. You may hear companies struggling. But the law doesn't make those distinctions. The law does not give those rights to employers that are struggling financially.
You know, in the situation, we've talked about this before, where maybe you love the place, or maybe it's a family-run business, and you love everybody that works there. You want to muck in, give them a bit of a break. Can you accept that pay cut if it's done in earnest? They're honest about it. They don't mean to harm your bank account. But if you do so, should it be written on a temporary basis? I'm willing to help you guys out. I know you're struggling. We'll all get through this together. So for this amount of months, you can whack my salary by 10%. That type of thing. Can you do that?
Yeah, you can, and you're right. In many cases, you may say, okay, I'll be the good team player to try to get him over that hump, and hopefully once we're over it, everything is back to normal. So you may say to your employer, just so you know, I understand the issues, so I will accept this for the next 30 days, 60 days, whatever it is, but after that I expect to be back to my full pay. You don't even need an agreement from the company. You just need to tell them what you're doing, that they shouldn't consider you to have accepted this pay cut forever and ever. So let's say you say, I'll do this for the next 60 days, only that to help you out. Mm-hmm. And after 60 days, if the company is still not increasing your pay back to the way it was, at that point, you can say constructive dismissal. You can still preserve your rights. So yes, you can absolutely give them a break and give them an opportunity, but make sure you put that in writing. If you have a discussion, you say that verbally to your employer, that's not good enough. Put that in writing, email works great, and then if nothing changes at the end of that period of time, constructive dismissal, meaning you got to give me a call.
We're talking about whether your employer can legally do these things. This goes back to kind of what you started with at the beginning of the show, and that is, my doctor put me on modified duties. Now, can my employer disagree with the restrictions that my doctor has recommended and said I need?
You know, I got to tell you, I mean, the answer here is so obvious, but man, every single week, I get several people contacting me with this situation, and sometimes I get 20 of those a week. Yeah. People contacting me saying, I get my doctor's note, and either the doctor's note says I need to be off or I need accommodation, and my employer says, yeah, we don't think that's enough. We don't agree with that, or you haven't really told us enough for us to determine whether that's right. Well, wait a second. Hold your horses. Your employer here doesn't get to decide if your doctor is right. They have no say in this. Maybe your doctor's actually wrong. I don't know. I'm not a doctor either. But it doesn't matter. Your employer, only thing that they can do is to follow what your doctor says. Now, if your doctor is not clear, or your doctor's kind of contradicting himself, then they can ask for clarification. Absolutely. But they cannot substitute their opinion, the employer's opinion, for that of the doctor. That's not possible. So, yes, you get a doctor's note. Make it as clear as possible. I need to be off for the next month, whatever it is, or until further notice. That's clear, right? Or I need to be able to work from home for the next 6 weeks, whatever it is. So that's clear. And the employer has to accommodate. They can't reject that. They can't ask you to see another doctor. And what they also can't do, by the way, is demand that you tell them exactly what your medical condition is. So, no, that is completely offside. Employers really are complicating this unnecessarily. And in doing that, they could actually be in violation of human rights legislation.
This next one gets muddy sometimes. Can my employer extend, keyword being extend, my temporary layoff?
Well, I get that asked that very often. Can they extend it? They told me I'm going to be on a temporary layoff for 60 days. They want to extend it now. Can they do that? Well, the reason they can't do that is because they actually didn't have a right to put you on a temporary layoff to begin with. In the majority of cases, your employer does not have the right to put you on a temporary layoff at all. Even if they're not intending to let you go, they're just hoping to call you back at some point, you can consider that temporary layoff as a termination. You can consider it to be a constructive dismissal. So no, they can't extend it because they don't have a right to put you on it to begin with. So if you're put on a temporary layoff, again, you have two choices here. Choice number one is you sit at home and you wait to see what happens. Do they call you back or not? Okay, you can do that. But the second thing, maybe the better thing to do, is to say no. That's a constructive dismissal. I'm not accepting that. I'm not going to give you that right to put me on a layoff temporarily. I'm going to consider that to be a termination. Get my severance. And of course, as I said, if that's what you want to do, call me and we'll make it happen.
The number is 416-870-6400. Ian, thanks for taking the time on a Wednesday evening. How are you?
Not bad. Guys, I just want to ask a quick question. What Lior just said, you know, everything has to be on paper. Why is it that at the labor board, when there's a disagreement, but they deemed it as agreed, like verbally agreed, they take it as something written in hard on a rock, like something written, it's concrete. I don't understand that.
No, they don't. What happens is if
yeah, they
if
do. There's a situation right
well,
now.
Let me answer the right question. Now. Let me answer the question. If there's evidence of a verbal agreement, if there is, then that is binding. The problem with a verbal agreement is that oftentimes we don't know what it said and it could be unclear. And one person may say there was one, the other person may say there wasn't. But if there's evidence of a verbal agreement, then it's just as binding as a written agreement. But the nice thing about something in writing is it avoids the situation of what was said, what wasn't said. It just makes it a lot easier to figure out what actually happened. But no, a verbal agreement can be just as enforceable if you can prove or someone can prove what was agreed to, who was involved, and what the terms were. So, you know, it absolutely could be enforceable.
Yeah, just based on Ian's tone, it seems risky to do that. So just take the time to either get it in an email or a good old-fashioned pen and paper and write it down and have it either signed or whatever,
yeah.
But have a physical record of it, right?
You know, I'm never a big fan of he said, she said. It's
no
just
kidding.
Not good. And no. I've seen so many times where even in good faith, different people disagree as to what was said, the different recollections, and not because someone is lying, not because someone is trying to be deceitful. So that's why if it's in writing, you can't disagree with it. Here's what it said. Here's the date that it was said. And that's that. So, to Ian's point, well, that's what the labor board does. No. That's not what the labor board does. In any situation, if there's evidence of a verbal agreement, then that agreement may well be enforced. Absolutely.
416-870-6400 to call just like Ian. In the meantime, can my employer legally do these things? My employer says we're very busy and that everyone needs to work overtime hours. Can they force me to do so?
So in most cases, the answer is no. The only time your employer can force you, quote unquote, force you to work overtime hours is if your employment agreement says that they have that right. In some situation, you may sign an employment agreement that says, you know, your hours are this to this, but we, the employer, can have you work more hours. If it says that, then they can force you. If it doesn't say that, they can't. That doesn't mean, by the way, that if you refuse, your employer can't let you go. Your employer can let you go pretty much for any reason, remember, but they would have to pay you your full severance. So keep that in mind.
Bounce over, grab another call in between here. Sean, thanks for taking the time. Good evening. How are you?
I'm
hey,
good.
Sean.
How are you?
Oh, is it Sean or Shauna? Or am I not even
Sean.
Close? Sean, okay, good.
No,
how are you?
What's Sean.
Okay, cool. What's on your mind?
I was just, like, it's kind of like a quick question, if you don't mind. I just was wondering if your employer can make you sign an attendance program sheet, like if they deem that you have been sick too many times, can they force you to sign a paper saying about attendance program?
So what would that paper say, that you agree not to be sick anymore?
Yeah,
but obviously, you know, I mean, and I've seen I'm not trying to make fun of this at all, because I've seen companies do that.
Well,
but that's ridiculous if you think about it.
Yeah.
What's that?
How do you know when you're going to be sick or not?
Exactly.
Yeah. And what do you say to the virus that you have? Well, look at this piece of paper, virus. I agreed not to have you, so you're going to have to go somewhere else. Right. It doesn't work that way. So it's absolutely ridiculous. And I would tell my employer that if I were you. I'd say, well, wait a second. If I'm sick, it's legitimate, and I'm happy to provide a doctor's note, but I can't agree not to be sick. So no, that's absolutely silly. Now, if you're missing too many days because of other reasons, because you know your car breaks down often, or you miss the bus, you know, stuff like that, that's kind of on you. Sure, but if it's because you're sick, to try to make you sign anything because of that is absolutely silly.
Okay. I thought so, but I just wanted to make sure. And my second quick question is, can your employer force you to go to a mandatory meeting outside of your work hours?
So are you, well, if it's outside of your work hours, then generally no. Unless, of course, there's an employment agreement that gives them a lot of flexibility to do stuff like that, but that's very rare. So the answer is no. The thing is, what I would say here as a practical matter, you want to decide if what they're asking is really bad, or can you deal with it? Because in some situations, you may just decide, you know, I'll do this even though they don't have a right, to kind of not cause conflict. But if it's certainly extreme and they do this often and it's far away and it takes a lot of time, then no, you don't have to do that. And they can't force you. So, you know, if they're very reasonable, maybe that's something they can do.
Sean, a couple good questions to wrap up the night. We really appreciate you taking the time. And for everybody else who either didn't get a chance or can't think of a question right now, you can always follow up with Lior later. And a couple different ways to do that. The phone number, 1-855-821-5900. Again, 1-855-821-5900. Help at employmentlawyer.ca via email. And that website, your best friend, could be pocketemploymentlawyer.ca. We'll catch you tomorrow night, 6:30, right here, same time. Employment Law Show for Thursday. Until then, have an excellent evening.
The preceding was a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of Corus Entertainment.